Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world, a man whose intelligence I have found to be extraordinary, especially in a part of the battle space of the war for the free world that is generally, well, poorly understood, if at all, is our first guest. He is Kevin Freeman, I'm proud to say, a senior fellow with the Center for Security Policy, specializing in economic warfare. He is the driving force behind globaleconomicwarfare.com and the author of two best-selling books, Game Plan and Secret Weapon. Kevin Freeman, it's good to have you. Welcome back.
Thank you, Frank.
The president, of course, is traveling in Asia at the moment. He's on his way to China, where there is increasing evidence of what I think you have been warning about for a long time, namely that the president, the country, we in the free world, for that matter, are being subjected increasingly to unmistakable and indeed aggressive Chinese economic warfare. Talk a bit about what you think the president is going to be confronting when he gets to China and what he best be alive to in terms of what is actually going on there.
Well, there was a great article in Asia Times that titled, "Trump Must Tread Carefully with His Asian Bankers." The view of, from the Asian perspective, particularly China's perspective, of President Trump's come to visit is one who owes them a lot of money, and he better come hat in hand, and he better come willing to acknowledge that they hold debt and we owe them money. And that's their perspective, and that reinforces this idea we can pull the rug out from under the dollar anytime we want to, so you better give us what we want, you better act appropriately, bow properly.
And does this mask some of their own difficulties internally, certainly financial, if not political at the moment? Is this a deflection or spin, if you will, designed to increase their leverage on Trump? Or is it certainly unmistakably true that they are our banker? How does that sort, do you think?
Well, if you put all the cards on the table, their economic strength is not nearly as great as it was a few years ago. A lot of that, as Gordon Chang has pointed out, was smoke and mirrors anyway, with a massive buildup of debt. Their government is not in any better shape than we are. In fact, if you were being honest, they're actually in worse shape. They've manufactured their economic activity. Our economic activity is real. Our economic activity is growing and robust. Theirs is very debt-laden at the state and corporate levels, and so they are potentially in great economic problem. One difference, we have the reserve currency of the world, which allows us to sustain through difficult times and lots of debt. They do not, and I think that's their path, is they want to take away that reserve currency status from us and apply it to themselves.
Yeah, and that would hurt us, obviously, very much. It would also presumably enable them to weather these kinds of debt crises rather better. And Kevin, let's talk about the Chinese effort to displace the dollar as the reserve currency of the world in the context of something you've been forecasting now for some time, and the president has engaged through a tweet to express his enthusiasm for. Rather different, I think, than the feeling you and I have about it. But talk a little bit about the Saudi Aramco initial public offering, where it stands now. Is it going to come to the United States, as President Trump has encouraged the Saudi king to do? Is it going to be bought up by the Chinese? Is it going to be an engine for this kind of basic switch out, switcheroo, I guess you'd call it, of the reserve currency of the world?
Well, and the reason you've got to go back to the history of the dollar as reserve currency, one of the great pillars of strength underneath it is the fact that all oil is traded in U.S. dollars. That's an agreement that we had with the Saudis decades ago, a half century ago, and where they agreed that we would buy their oil at whatever price, and they would put the money back into U.S. Treasury bonds and created what's known as the petrodollar. The Chinese recognize that that's a problem. Saudi Arabia is desperately in trouble for capital because they started an oil war that they couldn't finish against the United States. They lowered prices, hoping to destroy our fracking industry, something we talked about several years ago. They failed. Our fracking industry responded with improved technology and resilience. And they found we found that we could produce oil cheaper than the Saudis could afford to sell it because of their budgetary requirements. So they're desperately in need of money, and they're offering now 5% potentially of their Saudi Aramco company, their state-owned oil company, and they want to offer it in an initial public offering in New York, and they want us to give $100 billion for 5% ownership. And there's reason that we shouldn't do that. The president is saying we should do that, but the threat is if you don't give us this money, we'll turn to the Chinese, and the Chinese will immediately insist that oil no longer be traded in U.S. dollars. It needs to be traded either, you know, presumably in Chinese yuan.
So to the extent that the Saudis are putting up for sale a portion, a very small portion, but nonetheless a portion of this vast enterprise of theirs, largely obtained by nationalizing investments by the United States and Brits, as I recall. But they are now going to sell some of that to somebody. Could the Chinese, Kevin Freeman, reasonably expect through that purchase, if they were to make a substantial portion of that purchase, a platform for engaging the Saudis in this kind of swap out, denominating the Saudi oil production and presumably that of others as well in the renminbi rather than the dollar?
Well, there are two things I know that are true. One is the Chinese have told them that that's what they would like to do. And two, the Saudis have told us that that is something that they might have to do if they took the money from China. And so it's become almost a blackmail type threat. Unless you do this IPO, unless you give us American dollars, that's likely to happen. And my problem with that is multifold. But one of the problems that I have is they already said, well, after we sell the first 5%, we'll go sell a second 5%. So the blackmail, so to speak, would emerge. You know, we give them $100 billion of our money, and then they come back and say, oh, we're selling another 5%. This 5% is going to China, and we're still going to swap out the currency oil is traded in.
Yeah. I think one of the points that has been made by friends of ours is that when Prince Salman, Mohammed bin Salman, came to Washington to meet Donald Trump earlier this year, his father, King Salman, was in Beijing at exactly the same moment. And one wonders whether this isn't part of a kind of bait and switch by the Saudis and the Chinese. Let me turn lastly to get your thoughts, Kevin Freeman, author of Game Plan and Secret Weapon. Your take on what is happening inside the kingdom. The Wall Street Journal today is reporting that there, you know, are repercussions in the global economy as a result of uncertainties in Saudi Arabia, as a result of the arrests there and the consolidation of power by the Crown Prince. How do you see that, Kevin?
Well, it's interesting. I've talked to a number of people, and I've gotten two opposing views, and they're exactly opposite, but they're tied to the same issue. One group says that there was a group in Saudi Arabia that was opposed to replacing the dollar and wanted to side with the Chinese, and that group had to be rounded up and arrested and taken out of the picture. The other side says that there was that those that were opposed to switching off of the dollar needed to be rounded up. So one side was saying we've got to be pro-American. The other side was saying we got to be pro-China. But there's a question is
which one won?
Exactly.
Interesting. Interesting insight as always. Kevin Freeman, we have to leave it at that for today. So much more to talk with you about. We look forward to doing so in our regular visits next week. And thank you for your time today and the great work you do, among other places, at globaleconomicwarfare.com. Check it out, folks. Next up, we will be speaking with Claudia Rosette. We'll get her take on the president's travels, including the focus on North Korea. Right after this, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.